Now, when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to our program. Thank you so much for hanging on. I hope we didn't scar you too bad with that first hour. We may have got kind of carried away a little bit, but I don't think so. I think it's hard to get too hardcore sometimes. But anyway, now we have the one and only, the still bitter, more bitter than ever, Lieutenant General James, Lieutenant General Gene Andrews. The beast of Shiloh. Anyway, and people, listen, he's coming in to give this class tonight, and he has a brand new sword, and he damn well knows how to use it. So if you're late for class, I'm just pre-warning you, if you're late for class coming in, you may not want to come in, because I tell you what, he knows how to use that sword. And you can just ask the scores and scores of Yankee widows. He knows how to use a sword. Do not believe, because he doesn't take insults. He doesn't like to be insulted with that. I'm getting the hell out of his way. He's not going to get me if he's swinging wild. So anyway, General Gene, how are you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing okay. That's quite an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to that one or not. And then introducing me as Jane. No. That was last week. I was a woman. Yes. I'm back to being a man this week. A male this week. So that was my last week. Yes. Anyway. No, I thought what we talked about earlier in the week, I've been gone to a couple of conferences or went to one last weekend and going to one next weekend. And the one last weekend was the Southern National Congress. And its chairman is David Jones. And it's been in business for about 25 years. And the whole point of that and the Southern Nationalist League under Dr. Michael Hill, and the Southern Independence Association that's chaired by Mindy Esposito, the whole point of these organizations are to put the information out to the general public of why the South needs to be its own independent country. And most of these people have agreed that there's no way we can reform the government in Washington. And we think President Trump is doing a good job in some areas, but on the other hand, we don't think that this country ought to be ruled and dictated to by a foreign country, specifically Israel. And neither should we be dictated to by any foreign country, whether it's Israel or Guatemala or the Fiji Islands. They're not going to have the best interests of the United States at heart. They want the best interest for their country, which is normal. I mean, we should want the best interest for this country. And one of the points that was brought up at this Southern National Congress meeting was you look at how many billions we send to Israel every year for their war material and our weapons we send over there. And they're talking about, you know, what it is, the 38th day of the government shutdown, which I think is great. Just get rid of it altogether, the federal
Amen.
Government. But anyway, they drag out these black women that got 8 or 9 children and they can't feed all their children. And of course, they never thought about that when they were having the children, because the government going to take care of them and all the problems there. Well, there would be plenty of money. Oh, and Chuck Hugh Schumer and the Democrats are screaming and hollering about the Medicare costs are going through the roof. Well, number one, why do we have to feed and give medical care to all these illegals that are here? If you had taxpayers paying for Medicare and food programs for a few Americans that can't make ends meet, we would have enough money. But when you start feeding a third of the world that's pouring in here, you run out of money. And, you know, why should the taxpayers have to fund all of these programs to pay for these parasites. And, of course, they do that because they're voters and they vote the Democrats and liberal Democrats in there and keep them in power. So that was one of the things that was brought up. Another thing was David Jones is really a great historian and constitutional historian. And one of the things he was talking about, we always say, well, if they just get back to the Constitution, we just need to get back to the Constitution. And he says, that's the problem. First of all, the Constitution is an illegal document. The representatives that were elected by the 13 states, and I might back it up one more, the states were sovereign. England signed a peace treaty with 13 colonies. There was no United States of America, like there was a surrender with Germany or Japan after the Second World War or with the entire southern states. Well, it wasn't entire southern states. The Confederacy never surrendered. So technically, I guess you can say we're still at war with the Axis of Evil Empire. Army surrendered. Lee's army in Virginia, and then Joe Johnston in North Carolina, and then Richard Taylor in Alabama, which included Forrest Command, and then the armies in the Trans-Mississippi. So technically, we're still at war with Axis of Evil. But anyway, that being said, so they signed peace treaties with 13 separate colonies. And then the colonies decided that in order to protect themselves, they needed to form a confederation. Not a national country, but a confederation where they agreed to help each other out in cases of emergency. If England decided, again, to invade us, or Spain wanted to jump in there, or France thought this was going to be easy pickings, they needed some way to protect themselves and set up some rules about trade in between the different colonies and, you know, minor details like that. So that was the idea of our first national document of rules and laws and things like that. It was a confederation. And the liberals don't want to mention this, and they would go crazy if they knew this. The first few years that this country, that later became the United States, was operating under the Articles of Confederation, these 13 colonies or states, whatever you wanted to call them then, were known as the Confederate States of America. Because, and it was not until 1861 that we could get that title back again, because they were operating under the Articles of Confederation. And then they found out the big problem was there was no way to raise money to pay the national debt or debts that would come up for operating the national government. So they each state then elected or appointed representatives to go to Philadelphia and make amendments or adjustments to the Articles of Confederation. Well, when they got there, they decided they were going to meet in secret. And nobody, no reporters, no Congress people from Pennsylvania or any of the other states could go to the meetings. They were held in secret. And then they drew up this new document. They totally discarded the Articles of Confederation and drew up this new document called the Constitution. And that, for years and years, has been our national problem. It created an all-powerful central government. And yes, it took care of the tax problem, but it brought a lot of problems on to us that were not authorized when the representatives were sent to Philadelphia. And meeting in secret and not allowing any information to get out about the meeting was totally against the rules that were set up for amending or adjusting or modifying the Articles of Confederation. And Patrick Henry refused to go because he knew the monarchists, like Alexander Hamilton and the other people that were going to try to give us a king, just like these other countries in Europe had said, the only way we can have a strong country is if we have a king. And that's what they wanted to do, is to have a king and a strong central government, of course, run by them, and dictate what all the policy would be to, you know, five or six of the smaller colonies or the southern colonies. And that's why he said, Patrick Henry wouldn't go. He said, I smell a rat. And he knew what was going on. So anyway, that's kind of the problem that we've gotten ourselves into, And that was one of the things they were discussing at this conference, how the federal government just keeps expanding itself, expanding, and taking on more and more powers. And we said, well, they can't do that. The Constitution said, well, yes, they can, because they have a court system that allows them to do that. There's nothing in the original Constitution that said anything about how the local school systems were going to be set up and operated in the 13 states. But yet in the 60s, the court said it was okay for the federal government to step in and say, no, your school system isn't fair. So we're going to change what you've been doing for 100 years or 200 years or whatever, and we're going to tell you how you run your school system. So we'll cover some of the other things that were brought up in that conference as well after the break.
Be right back, folks.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I want to thank you so much for hanging out. Before we go back to the bitter end, we're going to say one thing about slavery. As you well know, from the first hour, if you were tuned in, my daughter took me up to New York this past week, and we took several train rides in the countryside. We went out to this one place, very, very interesting. We ate dinner at this one restaurant. Well, it was a building, actually, in a restaurant. It's kind of mom-and-pop thing, and they farmed the land there. And the building was over 300 years old. But we noticed this place is called the Phillips's Manor, if I'm pronouncing it right. I got a book around here with the name. But the important point is this is in northern New York State where we went to eat and toured this old 300-year-old farm. It was like 52,000-acre farm up there. Well, guess what? How they made their money, Gene? They had slaves. They gave a presentation saying that this manor, 52,000 acres, they used black slaves, and there was they didn't. If they tried to get loose, they would be put in prison. Like the second time, they just pop a cap on them. But this, and anyway, we that'll never be taught in the history books. But anyway, I want to shut up. I think I said last year.
You're absolutely right. And when you brought up the subject of slavery, and I think most of our listeners know this. Slavery was legal in all 13 colonies, and when we formed what was later known as the United States of America, slavery was legal in all 13 states. So for them to point their finger at the South and say, well, the South is so evil, they just had slaves. No, all 13 states, New York, as you just mentioned, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, they all had slaves. And then, yes, they got rid of them, but they didn't just say, okay, everybody's free at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning. It's all over. No, no. Mr. Yankee's not going to give up his money. And so when Massachusetts got rid of slavery, they simply sold their slaves into New York. And then when New York got rid of slavery, they simply sold their slaves into Pennsylvania. And when Pennsylvania got rid of it, they sold them into Maryland or Delaware or wherever else it was legal. And then that's where it was in 1861 when the war came along. And probably had there not been a war, then it would have died out eventually in the South and gone to sharecropping or some other type of labor system. But, they can't turn up their nose at the South about slavery. And one other thing that they always conveniently overlook is the slaves that were brought to this country by United States ships. Every one of those ships flew a Yankee flag. There was never one slave ship that flew a Confederate flag. And they were all out of New York or Boston or New Bedford or Philadelphia or Providence, Rhode Island. Providence, Rhode Island was the biggest slave trading center in this country. And they didn't bring them to sell them in New York or, you know, any of the northeastern states, but they brought them to sell them to the South. And we talked about this before. The reason was they needed blacks that were immune to malaria and a lot of the diseases that were killing the whites that were trying to work in these southern colonies or in the Caribbean islands. So they didn't bring the blacks in here because they hated black people. The blacks could survive against malaria and yellow fever and because over generations and generations of breeding in a tropical environment, they had gotten immune to those diseases. Now, they got rid of that, but sickle cell anemia took the place of it. And so the reason they brought them here was so they could have people that would work and wouldn't die off. They used to bring Scots and Irish slaves to work in these plantations in the coast, the southern colonies, and in the Caribbean. They just died. They couldn't make it a year or two because of the heat and the tropical disease. So then they said, okay, these blacks have lived in that type of environment all their lives for generations. We'll bring them over here. And the blacks were willing to sell off their rival tribes or their part of their family or anything to make money along that west coast of Africa. So there's a lot of fingers that can be pointed about slavery. And you do not, it's not necessary to point every single one of them at the South. So thank you for bringing that up. That's a little off our subject, but it's an important point to reiterate in every single program if we have to, till people can get the correct information on that. So we were talking about the Articles of Confederation and the Constitution, and then this idea from these several organizations that are talking about an independence movement or a separation movement. And they call it a separation movement and not necessarily secession, because as soon as you say secession, everybody throws up their hands and said, oh my gosh, we tried that once. We can't do that. Oh no, we can't do that. And, you know, it's so ironic or so hypocritical. It was fine to have a separation movement in China and the nationalist Chinese get off the mainland of China and set up their own government in Taiwan. It was fine for the Vietnamese to throw the French out and try to set up a communist government in Vietnam, which they eventually did, and we tried to stop it, and the French tried to stop it, but were unsuccessful. But we don't go around saying, oh, no, no, Vietnam needs to be back and be a French colony in Indochina like it was. They didn't have any trouble with the Irish setting up their own country, seceding from Great Britain. So there are secession movements that have happened all over the world. And the only ones that people get upset about in this country is when the South tried to leave. And if you look at it, the South, the Confederate States, what future became, later on became the Confederate States of America, again, was one of the most peaceful countries that was ever formed. We didn't storm the Bastille. We didn't murder the Tsar, his wife, and their children. And heck, we didn't even dump tea in the harbor. We just said, you know, this government has gone much further than what we signed on for, and we're leaving it. And you people in New England, do whatever you want to. you've threatened to secede. The New England states threatened to secede during the War of 1812. They got us into the war, and then it wasn't going very well for the United States. The British were winning just about every battle we could. The United States came up with this brilliant idea. Let's invade Canada and make Canada part of the United States. And the Canadians said, no thanks, eh? They wouldn't want any part of it. And so when the Canadians wouldn't join us, the American militia that went across the border into Canada burned down the city of York, Canada, which today is Toronto. So that's why the British retaliated by burning Washington, D.C. It was because the Americans had gone into Canada, which is controlled by the British crown at that time. What an independent country. And we burned York, Ontario, and the British retaliated by burning Washington, D.C. So who started that mess?
Well, that ain't in history books, that's for damn sure. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, Gene. I'm glad you brought that up.
They don't tell you about that. And, going back to that Articles of Confederation, one more thing David pointed out. He said, we've always heard that George Washington was our first president. He said, no, he was not our first president. They had six different presidents that served under the Articles of Confederation. And because they didn't want somebody there for a long time. It's kind of like state legislations today meet. They meet for a certain specific amount of time. They do their business, pass the bills, make appropriations, set the budget, whatever, and then they pack up and go home. They go back to farming, to the law office, to whatever they do, and they get out of town after a certain period of time. And the Articles of Confederation did the same thing. So you didn't have one permanent president that sat there forever, or four-year term, or an eight-year term, or whatever. There were different ones. One of them was Richard Henry Lee. So the Lee family was in the operation of this country from the very beginning. So that was another point that David brought out. Anyway, that was about the Articles of Confederation and the Southern National Congress. So we always have an annual meeting, and we had representatives from South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Missouri there. When it first started, we had them from about 10 or 12 states, but it's kind of thinned out to the ones that are really interested in. And usually we agree on several resolutions that we pass on to our state legislators. And hopefully that will alert them to the fact that there are people out there that really don't like the direction that the country's going. It's not being unpatriotic or anything. It's just we're in a bad deal, and we need to separate and get away from it. So that then brings us to another subject, and we're talking about, another group that has started that, and the same thing is the Southern Nationalist League. Used to be the League of the South under Dr. Michael Hill, and they have a publication called the Free Magnolia newspaper that they publish several times a year that has some great articles by some really good writers in there about why the South would be better off as its own independent country. And it's not about a revolution to overthrow the U.S. government or anything of the sort. We're just saying these people in Washington want one type of government, and New York and California and Oregon and Washington. We say, that's great. Let them have it. You know, have gay pride parades every day. Whatever you want to do. Pay for everybody that comes in from a foreign country, that's, whether they're working here or not. Pay for their medical, pay for their food, pay for their rent, pay for everything. If that's what you want to do, go for it. But don't come to Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia or Kentucky and tell us that we have to live like that.
Amen.
That's the whole point of this. It's just separation. It's not secession as such, but it's separation. And they say, well, we tried that, and that didn't work. Well, it did. From February of 1861, when the Confederate government was formed, until April of 1865, we had our own government. And the reason it didn't work was because we had a country of only 9 million people going up against 21 million.
Wow.
We'll come back after the break.
Be right back, folks. And that doesn't even include the Hessians and people like that that Lincoln was bringing in. I'm sure Gene will tell you about that. Be right back, folks.
Hey. How would you like to help this program reach more people and earn silver at the same time? Call or text 801-669-2211 for complete details.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump's agenda could be in jeopardy as the Supreme Court weighs the constitutionality of his sweeping tariffs.
Tariffs have played a central role in the president's economic and foreign policy agenda during his second term, and he describes his tariff case as one of the most important in American history. Last week, the Supreme Court heard oral arguments about the president's use of an emergency law to impose import taxes. During the 2.5-hour session, conservative justices asked some tough questions about the legality of Donald Trump's unilateral tariff authority. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The flight cuts at airports created a few headaches for travelers.
More than 1,000 flights were cut, but the airline stayed mostly on schedule. Karen Soika was supposed to be on one of the canceled flights out of Newark.
Talked to a few people here. They're saying, if I were you, I would not travel over the next 3 days. It's going to get worse.
There were last-minute cancellations and long security lines at 40 airports targeted for the slowdown. Gail Daly was trying to fly out of Denver. She's sick of the shutdown.
It's just a game back and forth of holding out who's going to get their way.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy says the number of canceled flights could double if the shutdown continues. I'm Ed Donahue.
UPS and FedEx are grounding planes after last week's deadly crash in Kentucky. Correspondent Ron Taylor reports.
UPS and FedEx have decided to ground their fleets of MD-11 planes out of an abundance of caution after a deadly crash at a UPS Global Aviation Hub in Kentucky. The companies announced their decision separately late Friday. The MD-11 aircraft make up about 9% of the UPS airline fleet and 4% of the FedEx fleet. The company stated their decisions were made proactively at the recommendation of the aircraft manufacturer. Ron Taylor reporting.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
Newsmax, you like Newsmax? I like it too.
Newsmax has been terrific.
President Trump is right. Millions like you are tuning into Newsmax. You're watching Newsmax on cable. You're going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2. And you're downloading our free Newsmax app on your smartphones and TVs. Reuters Institute says we're now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night, watch great shows with Rob Schmidt, Carl Higbee, Rob Finnerty, and more as they expose the big media lies, the Washington swamp, and they're never afraid to talk about faith, freedom, and the values that made us great. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes just seconds to start. Let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax. It's for real news, for real people. Make the switch today.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Experience the untamed spirit of the American West with Range Magazine. Each issue is a visual journey featuring award-winning photography and compelling stories that capture the heart of ranching and rural life. Stay informed on the challenges and triumphs of those who live and work on the land. Subscribe today and receive quarterly editions delivered to your doorstep, and join a community that cherishes the enduring legacy of the Western frontier. Visit rangemagazine.com to subscribe.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people." Unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach.
Dear Blood River Radio family, before we go back to the bitter ender, I'm just going to say, if you ever have any illusions about the South was bad South, good North, if you want to look and see what the United States Army has always done, go in and look what me and Gene were talking about. If you can, if you can get your hands on a book called The Bad War, put out by M.S. Michael King. We used to have him on. It's hard to get him on anymore. I think he thinks we might have got a little bit too hot. Maybe get him in trouble the last time I talked to him.
Oh, not Blood River Radio. That never happened. No.
Because we try to tone it down the best we can. We have cookies and tea here during the interview.
Yeah, me and Gene, we serve Georgetown cookies every week. That's it.
Yes. And me and Gene, we have tea and crumpets during the breaks. But anyway, read that Bad War and you'll see nothing has changed. With that, I got to shut my mouth and go back to the bitter ender. Go ahead, bitter ender.
No, that's we were talking about that. That's one of my yellow books because there's so many highlighted instances in that book that just about every page has two or three paragraphs highlighted on that page right there. It really opens your eyes to get both sides of the history of the Second World War and who caused it and who promoted it and who pushed for a war. And the Roosevelt and Churchill were pushing for a war. That's the only way they knew to get their countries out of a depression. And Churchill was a drunken bum. He was a financial disaster. He was about to lose his family estate. He'd lost so much money in bad investments and drinking. And a group called the Focus came in and paid off his debt and set him up and push for him to get back into politics. And the Focus was mostly Jewish bankers in England and Europe. And they wanted Churchill to be their boy to go after Germany and Hitler, Chancellor Hitler, because he had kicked all the Rothschilds and the Bank of England out of Germany for screwing the Germans so badly after World War One. And stealing people's homes, their businesses, their farms that had been in their family for decades. And they came in and undercut them and wouldn't sell to them and forced them out of business. And then they bought up their homes and their farms and their businesses for just pennies on the dollar. And then they wrecked the Weimar Republic. You know, you've seen those pictures of Germans pushing a wheelbarrow load of marks to try to go to the grocery store and buy food for just a couple of days. So they had totally wiped out the German economy. And Chancellor Hitler came in, kicked the Rothschilds out, and put Germany on a barter system and restabilized the German mark. And that's why the Jews hated Hitler so much, because he took away their cash cow. They were just raping Germany and stealing everything they could out of there and put Germany back on a path to build itself back up. And when the war started, before it started, Chancellor Hitler had gotten Germany out of the Depression. They were having prosperity. People were getting jobs. They were building the Autobahn system of highways across Germany. They had rebuilt their industry. And all he wanted to do then was get the country back, the territories back that had been stolen from Germany by the Treaty of Versailles, Czechoslovakia and Poland, the Ruhr Valley, and places like that. And that was the thing that they wanted Churchill to do, was to try to provoke an incident with Germany. And Churchill made a deal with the Poles that to try to do as much damage as they could and create as much violence as they could in that Polish corridor, that part of Germany that had been taken away in Prussia. And now it's part of Poland, but the Germans were living there. And the Poles would attack their businesses. They estimate they killed probably about 5,000 Germans in there, and up to Danzig, the port there on the Baltic Sea. And that's why Hitler went to England, France, the League of Nations, which was nothing, and asked them to send troops in and do something about it. And they refused. And of course Churchill refused, because he was hoping that Hitler would send German troops in there to rescue the German people, and then that would be his excuse to go to war with Germany. And Roosevelt was pushing him and told him, yeah, you get a war going with Germany, we'll back you. We'll send you war material and supplies, and then eventually we'll get in the war. So that's kind of the kind of dirty dealing that was going on in the background. And in this book, The Bad War by M.S. King, he gives you the exact date when all of these things happened, and who said what, and why they said it, and who was pulling the strings in the background. So, interesting book, if you ever get a hold of it. And they will never allow that in schools, because it just debunks all the propaganda that we've learned since the first grade on, and in colleges and universities. Okay,
yep.
One other thing I wanted to talk about. I help a friend of mine out with a TV show on Wednesday night. It's called Heartland Liberty, and Dan Meredith puts it on here in Nashville, and it's public broadcasting, and it has a lot of very conservative speakers on there on different subjects. A lot of it's based on Nashville politics, and we have some people that talk about that, and ones that are running for the city council or running for the state representatives, or in this last election we had replacing Mark Green's seat, where he resigned from Congress, and they had to have a special election to replace that. So it's called Heartland Liberty, and you can just go online and type in Heartland Liberty, and it comes up with the logo, and then across the top is an orange stripe, and you just go to the archives and hit that. And you can see all of these shows, the full length of the show, on there, and all the guests they've had. For instance, this last week, they had David Jones on there again, since he had just concluded that Southern National Congress, and talking about the idea of separation and why that was a good idea to just let the rest of the country that wants to elect a communist mayor, or they want to feed all the illegals, or they're into LGBTQ, NC, insane, LNN, you know, all this other stuff, let them have it. That's fine. We're not going to go to Minnesota and tell Tampon Timmy up there that they can't do all the wacky stuff they do in Minnesota. We just don't want him and the government coming down here and telling us we have to live like those clowns do. So he had David Jones, as we were talking about, and then one of the guests several weeks ago was Jason Fry, and he had a book called National Divorce, and that was the peaceful solution to irreconcilable differences. And they brought out a lot of topics there that the country is so split right now. It's probably split as much or more now than it was before the war between the states. And they said, how can you compromise with these people? They hate us. They look at the South or the red states as just backward, ignorant morons out there that they have to tell them what to do every step of every minute of every day. And you can't compromise with people like that. Like the issue of abortion. Conservatives think that's murdering a baby. Well, they don't. So how can you compromise? You're only going to cut the baby in half and abort the legs and let the rest of the body live? No, there's no compromise on that. And in taxation, that the government that we have in Washington never, ever wants to cut back. The only thing they want to do is raise taxes. And the same thing in a lot of the states. The teacher's retirement in California is bankrupt. In Illinois, it's bankrupt because they raid all of the different departments of the government to pay for all of these boondoggle projects that they come up with. So Jason Fry was on one time with that National Divorce. They had Ronnie Kennedy on there, one of the Kennedy brothers, Donnie and Ronnie Kennedy from Louisiana, talking about pretty much the same thing, why it was always legal. It was never illegal. It didn't work in this country because the North had a much bigger army and navy to strangle the South and force the South to, at the point of a gun, to come back into the American empire. And I've had a lot of people say, oh, well, we're one country now. We're one country. And I point out, not by choice. Not by choice. We voted to leave that one great country and form our own country, but we were invaded And your country killed 288,000 of our young men, and probably conservative estimates between 5,000 and 8,000 civilians were murdered, not by, you know, just an artillery round that fell short, but actually taken out of their home and shot and murdered. So I don't think that's something that a country would want to advertise, that we force, which is about a third of their, or a fourth of their country in the 1800s, we forced a fourth of our country to join us under the point of a gun. And I don't see how you can say that's all of a great show, country right there. Back to this Heartland Liberty. They have a lot of really interesting guests on there. They've had some of the J6 people that were arrested and thrown in the, into the American gulags. And to hear them give their story, like Stuart Parks and Colton McAbee, there were two people from Tennessee that were thrown in jail under, well, questionable legal things that were going on. And we'll get into that a little bit after the break.
Thank you, Switch G. You're doing a marvelous job, brother.
Stand up for your community and support your local sheriff. Join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association and become a vital member of the Sheriff's Citizens Posse. At CSPOA.org, we empower citizens like you through weekly webinars, arming you with the knowledge to back your constitutional county sheriff. Together, we can uphold our Constitution and ensure liberty and justice for all. Your community needs you now more than ever.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
I'll tell you one thing that every good soldier knows. The only thing that counts in the end is power. Naked, merciless force!
Here at Blood River Radio, without further ado, as we always say, time is money, and there's not enough time to cover all the time we need to recover, so we're going to go right back to the Lieutenant General Bitterender. Go ahead, Bitterender.
All righty. We were talking, kind of the theme of the program was separation and why the South and the red states would be better off in this country if they just had their own country. And it's not a revolt or rebellion. Although when we did secede in the South, it was called the War of Rebellion for many, many years. And the official records, the OR, is the War of the War of Rebellion. And even to call it a civil war is inaccurate. Because if you look up civil war, it's going to say in the dictionary, it's a war fought between factions within one country. Well, that's not right. The United States invaded a separate country, the Confederate States of America. And then the second part of the definition is for control of the government of that country. And that's incorrect because there was never, ever an attempt by the Confederate States of America to take over the government of the United States. We said, you elected Lincoln, you got him, you keep him, we're out of here. It's been fun and it's been real, but it ain't been real fun. We're leaving. And there was never an attempt to overthrow the government. And they always saying, oh, well, they broke up the United States. Oh, my, oh, my. Well, make states out of the Western territories then. You know? It was only a fourth of your country. And they were always talking about how backward the South was, and they were inbred, and they were just lazy bunch of people. And a lot of the New England states didn't want us in the country anyway. So, okay, fine. We're leaving. And when they threatened to secede during the War of 1812, we didn't threaten to go invade New England and force them to stay in the United States. And New England threatened to secede again. Well, and New England actually seceded and sent a Declaration of Independence to Washington. And when that got delivered, they found out that Andrew Jackson, a Southerner, and Tennessee militia and some of the other states had defeated the British at the battle at New Orleans, or just outside New Orleans. And the British didn't want to fight a war over here against the colonies or against the states and fight a war in Europe against Napoleon. And they figured it would be better off to settle the war over here against the United States than try to fight two wars at one time on either side of the Atlantic. So you can thank Napoleon for not having us forced to rejoin the British Empire, which was about to happen. And so that ended that. And then New England threatened to secede again when Texas was going to be admitted as a state, because they said, oh, they'll split it up. And instead of two senators, they'll get four, six, or eight, and that will tip the balance of power in the U.S. Congress. So New England was ready to secede again. And Lincoln, a representative from Illinois, said, any people, anywhere, and the right to throw off their existing form of government and form a new one which suits them better. That is a most sacred, a most inalienable right. As a congressman, he said that. But a few years later, when he was president, he said, oh, no, no, you can't do that. If you do that, we're going to come down there and invade you. We'll kill hundreds of thousands of your people. We'll destroy your cities. We'll poison your wells. We'll wreck your transportation system. We'll do everything we can to throw your country back into the Stone Age and make it a colony of the North. I mean, an agricultural colony of the North. And that's pretty much what they did. It took the South over 100 years to get back on its feet economically. So anyhow, with that being said, we moved on to another subject from Heartland Liberty about the people that were arrested for January 6th. One of them was Stuart Parks. He didn't go into the Capitol and destroy anything. A Capitol policeman opened the door and allowed them to come in. He thought, well, this is our building. It's the people's house, as they say. He walked in, looked around, walked out. And then one of these security cameras identified him, and about 6 months later, he was arrested and thrown in jail. And these people pretty much had to plea bargain. They knew that if they went on trial in Washington, D.C., a liberal city with a black judge and an all-black jury and a black prosecuting attorney, they didn't have a chance. And they would double or triple, quadruple whatever sentence they were giving them to plead guilty. And so they did. Stewart was one of the people from Tennessee that they got. Another one was Colton McAbee. And he was a sheriff's deputy. And he went up there with a friend of his, and he heard that there was going to be a lot of violence by Antifa and BLM and all of that bunch. He actually wore his sheriff's bulletproof vest, and it had sheriff on it. And he was there in front of the Capitol, and he said, all of them said, what happened? It was a peaceful protest. You know, they estimate what? Was it over 1 million people there, Eddie?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it was peaceful. And all of a sudden, the Capitol Police went berserk. And in that tunnel underneath the front of the steps of the Capitol there, they started firing tear gas and rubber bullets, and they stampeded the people. And that's where a lot of people got hurt. And they were Colton McAbee was trying to revive this woman that had gotten trampled and knocked down. And she had a heart attack and eventually died. And a female Capitol policeman was coming up there, a police woman, was coming up there and beating this woman over the head.
Damn.
With a club. Oh. And knocked her unconscious. And he said he was in law enforcement. You don't hit people over the head. If they try to control them, you don't hit them in the head. That could be a permanent injury. It could be a deadly injury. And that went on. Then, out in front of the Capitol, one of the Capitol police got knocked down when the protest turned violent in retaliation to what they had started. And he bent over and trying to help this guy up, and they had a video of it. And they were showing the video of this incident on Dan's TV show, and you can hear him saying, okay, we'll get you. I'll get you up. I'm one of you. I'm helping you up. I'll get you up. Well, when the trial came along, they cut the audio out of it, and they said he was pushing this Capitol policeman down and attacking this Capitol policeman. Now, you talk about a rotten-to-the-core judicial system that we have in this country.
They hate us, Gene.
Doctored that video that cut the audio out where he said he was trying to help this guy, and just showing the video, yeah, man, maybe he was pushing him down, you know, when you just look at it with no audio to go along with it. And that's one thing. At least Trump gave him a pardon and got him out of these jails. And Stuart Parks, we saw him after he came back. I had him on the show again after he was pardoned. And he said it was a great, great day. He got pardoned on January 19th, Robert E. Lee's birthday.
Wow.
You just can't get any better than that.
No, you can't.
So anyway, so that's a good show. If you want to go to the archives on that, just type in Heartland Liberty, and this orange thing comes across the top of the screen. Just put tap archives on there. And you can go through a lot of these shows that we've had. They got desperate one time for a guest. And they had me on there to defend Forrest and give the audience what really happened at Fort Pillow instead of the lies and misinformation that had been told about Forrest and the so-called Fort Pillow massacre. And we've done that a few times, try to correct history. It's kind of like the Barnes Review, that magazine. It's a great magazine. It's the politically incorrect guide to revising history and getting the story right. James Edwards always has an interview in each month's copy or each issue of Barnes Review. And I want to compliment James. He interviewed, now, originally this was back in 2007, he did an interview for a political cesspool with a German pilot and talking about what all he went through in went through as a young boy that trained him as a pilot and then served in the Luftwaffe and fought in Europe against the Allies, and then he was transferred to the Eastern Theater and fought against the Russian pilots and actually got shot down by a ground fire and was captured by the Russians. And for some reason they didn't kill him, because usually the Russians, they just executed German pilots right on the spot. Once again, our wonderful allies, the Russians.
You know, Gene, there was a book written by him that the Dulias, I can't remember his first name, but you're absolutely right. He wrote a book called Another Bowl of Kapusta, and I have that book signed.
Oh, great.
James signed that book, gave it over to me. Great, great forward James wrote in there. Yeah, I was there the night we interviewed him on TPC. It's one of the.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah,
that
he
is
was
great.
And you know, I got to kick this in. There was a man. He went to prison for frauding people. He had a big trading company here in Memphis. I'll tell his name if I remember his name. His name was. Oh, golly. He tried like hell to get me and James kicked off the political cesspool over and over. One of the main reasons he tried to get us kicked off, Jay, is because we had that fella on. And we had that Dulias on, the fighter pilot. And he hated us. He hated the so-called Nazis. They were evil. But,
well,
you pushed all my buttons.
And they don't want the truth out there. And when you tell the truth, you're anti-Semitic. You're a Nazi, you're a fascist, you're everything. You cannot tell the truth in this country.
No way in hell. Well, Bitterender, I certainly appreciate you coming on tonight, and I certainly appreciate you swapping up. James had to keep the kids, so he had to wait till he had a babysitter.
All right. Well, tell James hello for us, and we hope he can carry on with the great tradition of Blood River Radio.
I surely can. I tell you what, I'll surely tell him that. I'm glad that Danny's letting him come in.
All right, y'all take care. Bye-bye.
Good night, Bitterender.